Well, good morning. Good morning. Welcome, everyone. So glad to see all of you and hear all of you and see your smiling faces. It's great to be here in the house of the Lord, and we come to worship. We come to praise our Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus. So welcome to each of you as we begin this worship service. A few announcements as well as we begin. Just notice in the back of the bulletin here that the first Sunday of Lent is this coming Sunday, and that means this week, of course, on Wednesday, we begin with Ash Wednesday. The Ash Wednesday service will be this year at Mossy Creek Presbyterian Church. It starts at 7 p.m. Jamie Smith will be the one leading that service. Of course, the other ministers will be helping and taking part in that service as well. So I hope that you can come out and experience that. Maybe you've never been to an Ash Wednesday service. I have to be brutally honest with you. Before I started into the ministerial group, that as brethren, I had never experienced an Ash Wednesday service. That's just not something that the brethren normally celebrate in. But I have learned to appreciate the service. And I think there's a lot of good that is taught in it. So I hope that you come. Maybe it'll be your first time experiencing that. But we always have a nice service there, and certainly I encourage each of you to come if you can. Also, notice, though, as well, this coming Sunday, we will begin our Lent services. There is an insert in here that maybe put that on fridge, kitchen, door, and keep in mind the schedule. You have the speakers on there, and our very own Leon Linker will be sharing on March the 10th, and so we look forward to that. He's going to be sharing about his recent mission trip to Honduras and just giving an update on some of the work that's going on there. So I hope that you can make, especially on the 10th at least, but come out to these. I think you'll really enjoy it. And you don't have to worry about cooking dinner. You can come, and we have soup and sandwich every night. Starts at 6 o'clock. It's just a donation that is received, and there's various benefits, our local charitable ministries that it will benefit, rather. And so I hope that you come out and participate in that. There will also be a community choir. Notice on there, practice is 5 to 5:50 p.m., and so if you'd like to participate in the community choir, just come a little early, show up there in the sanctuary, and we look forward to hearing the community choir this year as well. Notice there's an announcement again about the roof fund. If you would like to make donations to help with the church roof replacement, church roof is going to be needing replacement soon, and so we certainly will receive any donation that would help with that. Also, on the back of that insert, notice there's just a beautiful thank you from the Michael family, and as well as the Bowerly family. Also, there's just a note there about the registration book for Imogene. It was kind of placed at the front. Not a lot of people got a chance to sign it, or some didn't. And so Nancy's just placed it there in the kitchen. If you'd like to sign that book, she certainly appreciates that. Are there other announcements that you'd like to share at this time? Anything that I missed? Yes, Lee. Okay. If you would like to bring flowers, you can sign up on that sheet there. There's a new sheet that's been placed there on the bulletin board. And appreciate that, Lee, and that announcement.
And also the mid-service that we're serving on March 3rd.
Yes. Yeah, if you didn't hear that, Lee said, and you'll see on the kitchen door, there is a sign-up sheet there for the Lenten service meal that Moscow will provide. We're going to be needing soup and sandwiches for that, and there is a sign-up sheet there. You can sign up for soup, chili, or maybe there's a other particular soup that you make. They would be certainly welcome for you to make that and donate that, as well as cookies also for dessert. And if you have questions about that, just see Mary Lou or Lee or Alan. Alan, we know a lot about cookies, though. I know I do. Yeah. So, yeah, just see one of them, and they'll give you the information on how you can help provide for that meal that they'll be serving. Anyone else? Let's just bow our heads for a word of prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this glorious and beautiful day. We've gathered here in your name. We've gathered to worship your Son, Jesus. Lord, he is so good. He is so deserving and worthy of our praise. Lord, we can always trust in him. We can put our full trust and confidence in you, Lord, because, Father, you are unshakable. Lord, we know that there's no other place in this world that, Lord, is as firm a foundation as you. But, Lord, we have found in you that firm foundation of our life. And, Lord, we praise you here this morning because, Lord, we have that foundation, you, as our foundation of our life. And, Lord, we seek to build our lives upon that solid rock, Lord, which is you and your Son, Christ. And, Lord, we just seek to praise you here this morning. I pray you just receive our prayer right into your throne room, Lord. And our praise, Lord, might just be a wonderful and blessed thing for you here this morning. Father, we praise you and we praise your Son, Jesus. It's in his name we pray. Amen. Let us stand together for this morning's call to worship. If you have your bulletins, you'll find this is from portions of Psalms chapter 125. And the psalmist says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds his people. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be shaken. Do good, O Lord, to those who are good, and those who are upright in their hearts. Those who trust in the Lord cannot be moved. From this time forth and forevermore, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which abides forever. Let's turn in our hymnal to page 204, The Rock of Ages.
Water and the blood.
Aren't the words to that hymn so beautiful if you pay attention to them? Okay, I want to take a couple minutes to gather up our prayer requests and praises that we would like to share. I guess we will end our prayer with the kids coming forward and dedicating our items that will go to North River and the items that we've collected. And so we appreciate all those that have brought donations. I know they will go a long ways to helping the students and the teachers teach. And so we appreciate that. And we'll have the kids be a part of that prayer and that blessing as we make that prayer. Also, just a reminder, too, as we when we receive our offering, if you hadn't had a chance to make a donation or you still wanted to, maybe you didn't get a chance to shop, you can make the check payable to North River Elementary School and just put on there in the memo line that it's for school supplies, and we'll make sure that it gets there, and it will, again, go to just help with the needs for the teachers and the students there. So, we appreciate that, and what a blessing that is. That, of course, it's not just us. You know, the other churches are coming together with that. We'll collect all these items and sort them this week. The pastors will work at doing that, and we deliver those things over there. And it's just amazing. I wish everybody could be there to see the teachers as we bring the items in. It usually fills up a section there on the floor, you know, in the entrance way. And it's just... Yeah, it's amazing to see all the things that are collected and just see the smiles on not only the teachers, but the kids as well. So we just thank the Lord for that. Okay, are there some prayer requests or praises that you would like to share now? Anyone have any?
I have a praise.
Yes, Pauline?
I'd like to thank the Lord for bringing things through these last couple of months. He's been up and down and up and down with his health. But he's doing much better, and tomorrow he will turn a year old.
That's right, 93 tomorrow. So praise the Lord, Vance, or as I would call him, Grand. But Vance, we celebrate with you. 93 years, that's a lot of years, and we thank the Lord for each one of them and for the blessings that Vance has given to you, Pauline, and to all of our family. So we just we praise the Lord for that. Yeah. Thank you for sharing that. What a praise. Other prayer requests or praises, Gail?
I have two prayer requests. One, my mom, Elaine Orbaugh.
Okay.
She's really struggling. Since daddy passed.
Right.
And then my daughter's fiance's family, the Redifer family.
Redifer.
They lost their 38-year-old son.
Oh.
From a brain bleed.
Okay. If you would be in prayer for the Redifer family, aneurysm, brain bleed, and how old did you say?
38.
So if you would just be in prayer for the Redifer family, or the Redifer family, rather. Thank you for sharing that, Gail. Megan. What would you want to name that family or no?
It's the Puffin Buckwell. Her name's Becky. Just pray for Becky's family.
Okay.
Her nephew.
If you would, just be in prayer for the family of Becky, young lady that committed suicide?
That's her nephew.
Her nephew.
Yeah,
okay. Her nephew. Okay. Thank you, Megan, for sharing that. Certainly be in prayer for Becky and her family. Other prayer requests or praises, Pam?
Just for Jennifer, she sees the oncologist tomorrow. Pray for
yes.
Good results.
Absolutely. I certainly continue to pray for Jennifer Lambert. I was able to talk to Robert this past week, and he was praising the Lord that they were able to find this cancer early, and just pray that it was contained and that that all these, yeah, there's nothing else more that would be needed. And we just pray for her health and well-being. So... I see Lee. Yes. Okay. If you would, Joanne Good, as well as Pat Shiflett, Lee's sister. Be in prayer for both of them. Anyone else? Ashley?
Continue to pray for my uncle Jeff Rawlings.
Yes.
He's scheduled this Tuesday for a heart ablation, and we hope it goes well.
Okay. This Tuesday, heart ablation. Okay, thank you, Ashley. If you would, keep Orland Shank in your prayers. Maybe many of you know him. He's been in the hospital and is going to have a procedure, I think, on his brain, his head. And so he's been at UVA, I know. And if you would, just keep him in your prayers for that surgery and recovery as well. Anyone else?
Yeah, I want to say a prayer and keep my grandson Sam Martin.
Yes.
In our prayers. He's down in Paris Island, 3 months in the Marine Corps.
Absolutely. Just pray for his safety there and praying that things are going good for Sam. I don't think I could make it through basic training. Yeah. Well, I can handle that. It's the running that would get me. Yeah, I could make do without the cell phone, but when they get me running, I would probably need the nearest hospital.
After a period of time, they'll be allowed to communicate only by mail.
Okay.
Cards and letters. That's the only way to communicate.
Yep.
They read them in front of all their team members.
Yeah. Yeah, I got to talk to Sam the day before he left out and had a nice prayer with him. And so he was looking forward to going and taking on this new experience. And our prayers are continue to be with him and just pray that he gets through this well and it makes him stronger. And I prayed that it would strengthen his faith even. That was my prayer for him on the phone, that he would just draw close to God. I reminded him that he's not alone there, that he's got a lot of people supporting him, loving him, and he's got God by his side. We'd praise the Lord for that. Anyone else?
I think we need to pray for our nation.
Yes.
We need to pray that a leader will rise up to help us out of this mess our country's in.
Absolutely. We're in election year, and we continue to pray for our nation and for God to bring forth the right leader to lead us forward. Yeah, pray for a revival. Boy, that's what's going to fix this nation. We've got to repent and get back to serving the true and living God and repent of all the idolatry within this nation. Yeah. Thank you, Pauline. Anyone else? Okay, I'm going to have the ushers come forward now and receive our tithes and our offerings. Let us stand together in prayer. And if I could have the kids to come forward now. Why don't they just stand here across the front? You're going to be our representatives for all our school supplies. They represent kids that are in school and represent how blessed we are here to have these children a part of Moscow. Yeah, come on up. There you go. Yeah. Let's share the doxology. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above the heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for each one of these children. Lord, we thank you for their desire to learn and to grow. They're doing that, Lord, in school, we know. They're doing that here as they're learning about your love and your grace and your peace and your joy. Lord, we thank you that they are encouraged to grow and to learn. And Father, we just thank you as well for the school supplies that this church has collected, along with the other area churches that will go into helping them in the school. Lord, we just pray that the gifts that go forward, Lord, that they go forth in your name, the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray that they go to those kids and students, Lord, that need maybe these items. Maybe they've reached a place, maybe they can't afford these things and their family can't afford these things. Or maybe they've just been able to or have to do without even. And so we pray that these items will get right to those children that need these things the most. And Lord, it will bring a smile to their face that there are others that care about them, like this church, these children that love them. And Lord, we want to help those around us that need your help, even if it's just something simple like having a pencil in school. Lord, we just pray that all those that receive these gifts will be blessed. Thank you for the heart that you give us, a heart of love and compassion for others, even those that are suffering or those that are doing without. Lord, thank you for giving us the blessings we need to be able to bless others. Lord, we know that you bless us so that we can bless others, and we thank you for that. Pray for those on our prayer request list, our prayer list as well. Just pray be with each person as you can, Lord, and provide for them the healing they need. Thank you for our offertory this morning, our offering, Lord. We just pray it is a blessing unto you. And, Lord, we pray a blessing upon those givers. And Father, we bring all these things forward to you in our prayer of love and joy. And we give you thanks. Bless us, I pray, now as we search the Scriptures and enter into our lessons, whether up here or downstairs. Continue to bless us, I pray, as we seek you and your Son, Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, Children's Church can be dismissed. Youth Sunday School can be dismissed. Okay, I want you to turn in your Bible with me to Hebrews chapter 12. This is going to be the last sermon I'm building, or going to share with this particular sermon series with confidence building. We'll move on to some Easter sort of themes as we get into Lent and build towards Palm Sunday and then Easter Sunday. So I'll kind of conclude our confidence building scriptures here. Although I don't want you to stop looking at those scriptures that should be building within you confidence. And God wants us to have confidence, doesn't He? He wants us to have confidence in Him. And we've discussed, I don't know how many sermons now we've looked at, but you know, all these scriptures have kind of built in, on that confidence, that faith that we can have in God. That when the world is shaking back and forth violently, feels like it, when the world seems to be falling apart, we can be certain that we serve an unshakable God, don't we? He's not falling apart. Even though our life might be falling apart, that He is not falling apart. And we can put our full faith and trust and confidence in the God up on high, who rules over everything. And so I think it's just important for us to remember, especially in the day in which we're living, especially in the times in which we're living, even the year in which we're living. It seems to be more tensions and pressures than ever. And it really feels like the earth could start to violently shake and our world could start to crumble around us at every moment, at any moment. Well, and if it does, we can grab a hold of the one person, the one thing in our life that is unshakable. And that's your faith in God. He is unshakable. He's absolute. He's concrete. He's firm. He's grounded and true. He's unmovable. There's that thing in your life that is so solid that no matter what happens, no matter what happens in your life, that faith in God within you is unmovable, unshakable. It is the unshakable kingdom of God that dwells within each believer. And so remember that. Remember that. Grab a hold of that when you feel like your world is crumbling apart. That you have an unshakable kingdom of God that dwells within your life. And you just need to grab a hold of it and claim it for yourself, because it is there. And so we focused on the world, I think our attention on uncertain things in the world. The world is full of uncertainties, isn't it? There are lots of uncertainties in our world today. The world is an uncertain place, but the kingdom of God is not uncertain. The kingdom of God is absolute. It's certain. And here, as it shares in our scriptures, it is unshakable. So let's pick up here in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 24, and then we'll read down right down to verse 28. It says, "To Jesus, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven, whose voice then shook the earth. But now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Now this yet once more indicates the removal of those things that are being shaken, as of things that are made, that the things which cannot be shaken may remain." Verse 28, "And therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." There it is. The kingdom of God that is unshakable. Everything else in the world, the kingdoms of the world are shakable. You know, every kingdom that has ever existed at some point was shaken to a place of destruction, wasn't it? Every kingdom that exists within the world, even the last great kingdom of the world, the Roman Empire, it just kind of fell apart from within. But every kingdom of the world is shakable. It doesn't exist forever. It doesn't exist very long, it seems, even in the history of the world. sometimes several hundred years, but oftentimes we see in history that every kingdom of God, every kingdom of the world is shakable. But that's not true with the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is sure. It's unshakable. It never changes. And we can always trust in it. Now, I heard someone say, I think this is true, that the events of the world, the things that are happening today, that everything according, that is, to Matthew chapter 24, is falling apart right on time. You ever thought of it that way? Everything in the world is falling apart right on time. And that's looking at Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus talks about when they ask Jesus, what will be the signs of the end days? What are the signs? When they recognized, they knew that this world would not continue on. All the kingdoms of the world are shakable. They exist and then they cease to exist. And so it will be with the world. It will cease to exist. And they asked Jesus, what will be the signs that this world would end? And Jesus said, well, you're going to notice that there'll be no peace in the world. There'll be a global unrest, and nations will come and war against nation. Jesus said, but see that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. Wars and rumors of wars. Well, there'll be uncertainty and uncontrollable diseases, Jesus said. Boy, I don't have to press that one very hard, do I? We just came through a couple years of a pandemic of disease, worldwide disease. Jesus said in the end days, there's going to be uncontrollable diseases. There's going to be famines. There's going to be plagues. And that these things would increase as Jesus drew near. There's going to be uncertainty in the world because of world catastrophes. And we see that happening today. War and catastrophes as well. And the earthquakes, he said, would happen in various places. All these things, Jesus said, are the beginning of sorrows. I just yesterday, I think I seen there was an alert that California, I think it was one of the cities, L.A., I believe, had a 4.9 or 5 point something magnitude earthquake. And some video came out of somebody that was streaming when it happened, and they were yelling, we're having an earthquake, we're having an earthquake. These things will become more and more common. You know, a few years ago, we had an earthquake here, didn't we? I remember that. It's probably been 15 years ago now, but we had an earthquake. I don't know if you felt it or not. I felt it. Kind of wild to feel the earth beneath you moving. That was something I never experienced before. And this shaking of the earth. Let's just remind you that not even the earth below us is unshakable. Everything can shake. Even the ground beneath us can be shaken. But we see as well, Jesus said, this uncertainty that will come in the world when it comes to religious persecution, Christian persecution. There'll be an increase of persecution. He says, they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you. And you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. We are to expect these things to come. The world, everything is falling apart right on schedule, isn't it? They were a poll that was taken, a survey that was asking evangelicals, Protestants, how they felt about persecution for the Christian faith. And 57% of them in this Public Religion Research Institute poll, 57% of Christians today say that there is a lot of discrimination towards their Christian faith. And so we see that happening, don't we? We see this persecution rising. Even in America, there is a persecution against the Christian faith that is increasing and will increase and will continue to increase. We are to expect it. Everything is falling apart right on schedule. We see these things happening, and they let us know that that as Jesus said they would unfold, that's what we're witnessing. So it is happening. The shakable things of this world are falling apart, as God told us, as His coming draws near. But as the world starts to fall apart, we Christians need to remember that we serve a God that is firm foundation in our life, that we can grab a hold of, that we can hold on to, that while the world is shaking, we can be holding firm in Him. God's kingdom stands in stark contrast to the kingdoms of the world. While the kingdoms of this world are being shaken, look there at verse 26. Shake not only the earth, but the heavens also. And notice there, God's kingdom, verse 28, is unshakable. Therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken, let us have grace by which we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear. Now, what is the kingdom here that is unshakable? Ed, can you pick it out there in the scriptures? Paul lists it there for us. The unshakable kingdom of God. What is the unshakable kingdom of God that we have? Well, notice there in verse 24, the first one there, is the unshakable new covenant which we've been given. Look there in verse 24. He's the mediator of this new covenant. And the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. So this is, we have an unshakable covenant with God, don't we? And it's unshakable because it's not built upon what you do, but upon what Christ has done. And that's unmovable, isn't it? That's fixed. That's finished work. It's not what you've done. It's not that you've worked yourself into a place of that God would receive you, and that your acceptance to God is built on the foundation that you're pleasing God. No, that's a shakeable foundation. You could go out tomorrow and mess that up, and guess what? You're right back to square one. But the unshakable foundation that we have in our relationship with God is the new covenant. Not based on works, but based on God's love and that His Son was willing to die upon the cross for each one of us. Notice there it speaks of this is something better than that of Abel. That sacrifice speaks better than that of Abel. It's interesting. I find it's interesting that it uses Abel there in referencing a better covenant. You would think that would reference Abraham, right? The Abram covenant. That's the original covenant. And oftentimes we see Abram as the father of the faith, right? But notice here, it goes back farther in history than just Abraham. Yes, he was a part of a covenant that God made. But notice there was a covenant even before that with man. We're thinking of Cain and Abel. Remember what Cain and Abel? Cain brought his sacrifice to God, and God wasn't pleased with it, was He? But God was pleased with the sacrifice of Abel. Or it's vice versa there, isn't it? Cain killed Abel. Yeah. So Abel's sacrifice was accepted, and Cain was jealous because of the sacrifice that was unacceptable. And he makes reference to that covenant, this better covenant, this better sacrifice that was made by Abel. Now we have that sacrifice that's made, yes, of blood, but by Christ Jesus, a blood sacrifice, this better covenant that we have. The new covenant is a better covenant. It's an unshakable covenant in which we serve. It's salvation through faith by grace. For grace you have been saved through faith. That's not of yourself. God says there in Ephesians 2:8, it's a gift of God. Listen, you can put your faith in the unshakable covenant, the new covenant which you have, that relationship you have with God through that covenant. It's unshakable. Number two, notice there, it's God's righteous judgment. Boy, that's kind of an interesting. Verse 25, see that you do not refuse him who speaks, for if they did not escape who refused him who spoke on earth, much more shall we not escape if we turn away from him who speaks from heaven. This is talking about the judgment of God. The judgment of God is unshakable. And what that means for us, friends, is that one day God is going to judge the iniquities of the world, the iniquities of people, and that judgment is firm and fixed. We can trust in it. God doesn't change his judgment in the middle here somewhere. He doesn't change and say, well, you know, I was going to, you know, pass over your judgment because of Jesus died for your sins, but now I'm changing it. Now, you know, they're going to be allowed. And you know, no, it's firm. It's fixed. You can trust in the judgment of God, that God will make all things right. He'll make all things right. And the guilty will pay for their sins. It might feel like today that the sinful have the advantage, that they are the ones that get ahead. But it's not true. The sinful, the sinner, will pay for their sins eventually. God's judgment is unshaken. He will judge the wicked. In the book of Revelation, you can see the great white throne judgment that yet is to come. And the Bible says that on the great white throne, him that sat on it, whose face the earth and the heaven then fled away, and there was found no place for them. John writes, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were open. This is the books of judgment. One day God will make right every wrong, and he'll judge the wicked. And the Bible then goes to say that that he opens another set of books. Another book was opened, and that tells us that was the book of life. And as many as the names that are written in that book will be exempt from judgment on that day. Isn't that great? Is your name written in that book? Boy, you better hope so. If you've trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, your name is written in that book. You don't want to fall in the other book. That's the book of judgment. God's righteous judgment is a firm foundation. We can trust in it. He will judge the wicked and he will reward the righteous. Number three, God's unshakable kingdom is that of his blessed promise. Look there in verse 26. You see the promises of God, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised. There's a promise of God, isn't it? He's promised, saying, yet once more, I shake not only the earth, but also heaven. Listen, the promises of God are unshakable. And in the Bible alone, I was just looking up how many promises there are. There's over 8,000 promises in the Bible alone. How many of those promises do you know personally? I know a few, but not 8,000. I wish I had all 8,000 memorized. Wouldn't that be quite a feat? 8,000, over 8,000 promises of God, promises of hope and joy and peace and wisdom and strength. For whatever situation you're facing, there is a promise of God that can meet you right where you're at. Promises like that God will never fail you, Joshua 21. Promises that God is always good, Psalms 119. Promises that God will always be with you, Matthew 28. Over and over, God makes his promises known to you. And listen, the promises of God are unshakable in your life. They don't change. God doesn't change his mind and go back on it. He makes a promise to you, you can be sure. It will last in eternity. God has promises these things, has given us promises in the Scripture, and we can be sure that these things are unshakable in our life. I challenge you to go through and start to look, as you read the Scripture, look for the promises of God that He has made to each one of you. Start underlining those promises. This is what God promises for me. And claim those promises for yourself. God's given them to you. Often we just need to claim those promises. Last, but not least here, number four, God's finished work of grace. Verse 28, therefore, since we are receiving a kingdom which cannot be shaken. Notice here, this unshakable kingdom we're talking about, Paul's talking about. Let us have grace. And there is the unshakable kingdom of grace. Grace is God's love. God's love for you is unshakable. There is nothing that you can do. There's nothing that you can do that will make God love you any less. Doesn't that feel good? You might mess up this week real bad. Might say something you wish you could take back. You might think a thought you wish you wouldn't have thought. Might do something you wish you wouldn't have done. But you know what? Nothing changes God's love for you. Sometimes we get in our mind, well, God must really, He must hate me now. God gets disappointed in us for sure. I get disappointed in my children, but that doesn't mean I love them any less. Might be disappointed in what they do. My love for them doesn't change. God's love doesn't, you can't change God's love. He doesn't love you any less. In fact, God can't love you any more. Now, He has a perfect love. Well, I wish I could say that. I'm working on that. We're all working on that, aren't we? To love with a perfect love. God can say it. He can claim it. He can't love you any less. He can't love you any more. He's given you all the love that you could possibly be given. It's a perfect love. It cannot be changed. This is the grace of God. This unshakable love that we have received from God in our life. God's love is perfect. Grace is not the love that we deserve, is it? It's not even the love that we want. It's the love that we need. The love that we need. That's the sort of love that God loves us with. Not the love that we deserve, but the love that we need. Heard an interesting story. A pastor told this, that he was went to a diner, or maybe someone went to a diner, and he was there to get breakfast, and he walked into the diner and sat down at the diner table, and the waitress come out and said, slap the napkin down, put a glass of water there, said, you want to eat? He said, yes, ma'am. Well, you want the special? Yes, ma'am. Well, you want eggs and hash browns and, you know, black coffee? Yes, ma'am. Is that all you say is yes, ma'am? And he said, yes, ma'am. And so she went back and made breakfast for him and came back and set it all down. And he ate his meal, you know, and put a tip down on the table as he left. Put $40 tip down. And as he was walking out the door, the waitress said, wait a minute. Why did you leave this tip for me? I don't get tips like this. Why would you leave a $40 tip when I treated you so badly? I wasn't pleasant to you. I wasn't nice to you. And the man turned around and said, well, I left you that big tip because I could see that you were having a bad day. I could see that something in your life was off, that you were upset about something. And the lady, she just broke into tears. And she said, you're right. You're right. I'm having all sorts of trouble. And she went through the list of all the things that was going on in her life. And he had a moment there to share with her about Jesus' love. And the moral is that she wasn't deserving of that sort of tip. She had treated him like trash. But he gave it to her anyways. Not because she deserved it, but because she needed it. And that's the sort of love that God gives to you. Not the love that you deserve. We don't deserve it, do we? But it's the love that we need. The unshakable things of God, the kingdom of God, the unshakable love of God that we've received. Listen, the world might be falling apart. Who knows what is going to happen in 2024? We're just getting going, I think. We don't know what's going to happen. There's all sorts of ideas that have been spread about what could potentially unfold this year. We don't know. The whole world could fall apart around us for all we know. But what we do know is that we serve a God that no matter what is happening in the world, we can grab a hold of too. And He is unshakable. And if He's unshakable, we're unshakable. That our firm foundation is in Him, in His love, in His covenant, in His judgment, that wrongs will be one day righted, that the wicked will one day pay for their sin. This is the firm foundations we have in God. Grab a hold of it, brothers and sisters. Don't let the world shake you to pieces. Grab a hold of the unshakable kingdom of God that He has put within your life. We don't know what is going to unfold. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. I might come down with some sickness this week that I only have 2 weeks left to live. I don't know. Whatever shakes in my life, I just got to grab a hold of the promises of God that are true and firm. And know that God is there. That He's holding me. He's got me. I can trust in Him. Amen? Amen. That's what we need, don't we? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank You for the unshakable kingdom of God. The unshakable love, the unshakable promises that we've received. Lord, the unshakable judgment, the unshakable covenant. Lord, this is the things that You've declared to us that we can grab a hold of and know, Lord, that we have that firm foundation in our life because, Lord, we have You. Father, we just pray right now that each one of us, Lord, no matter what happens in this year to come, Lord, that we will continue to cling to You and, Lord, put our faith and our trust in those unshakable things that are found only in You. Lord, in this world, You will have tribulation. We know that. Lord, we serve a God that overcomes all these things. Thank You, Father, for this truth in our life that we have and that we can grab a hold of and receive for ourselves. Father, we praise You now. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. Okay, well, close now in this closing hymn, page 277. The church is one foundation. Let us stand together and sing. Maybe we'll sing the first and the last. 277.
Water and the world.
bow our heads in prayer as we go. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you. Thank you, Lord, that we can trust in you. Thank you, Lord, that we have that firm foundation found in you, Lord, in our life. Lord, we're going to need it this week. We're going to need it this year. We're going to need it every day of our life, Lord. We can trust and know that you have that firm foundation built within our life, Lord, and we can trust in that. Bless us, I pray, as we go out into this world, and you go with us, I pray. It's in Christ Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen.